On the line was a gentleman by the name of Austin Amarca, who has an organization, and they've just published a series of books that are available at Amazon called Challenging Sobriety. Is that the name of the organization, Mr. Amarca?
Yes, Phil, it is.
Thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
You are sober. You're a recovering alcoholic.
That is correct, yes.
But not through Alcoholics Anonymous.
No, sir. Our organization is much different from Alcoholics Anonymous. We are not, number one, we're not an anonymous organization. And the reason for that is because we are living in a time where alcoholism does not carry the stigma that it did perhaps the 1930s or 40s when AA was founded. The anonymity is not necessarily the desired thing. We also are a little bit more modern in that we challenge some of the precepts of AA. Our sobriety is what we call a challenge-based sobriety. That means that we do not fear exposure to alcohol. We welcome exposure to alcohol because we think it toughens our sobriety. And it is a pretty interesting meetings. I'll give you an example. When we have our main meeting, which we have here in the Santa Monica area, we have a bottle of what's called Robert's Wild Irish Rose, and it sits on a table with the cap off.
Is that wine? That's fortified wine.
It is fortified wine. It is the kind of drink, in fact, that many hardcore alcoholics who are associated mostly with the Skid Row areas of cities could afford. It is fortified, and it's carries quite a kick.
So you're having a meeting of alcoholics trying to stay sober, I take it.
Absolutely, yeah.
And there's a bottle of Wild Irish Rose sitting on the table with the cap off.
With the cap off, and sometimes we'll pour about three or four fingers into a tumbler. Now, why do we do that? Well, if you're an alcoholic, most people, especially people associated with AA, would say that that is absolute suicide. But we believe that we are tougher and that we are smarter than that alcohol. And that's what I say at our meetings. That's what we all believe. I'm smarter than any bottle of wine, fortified or not. And I can sit and have a meeting and talk about my sobriety and how I enjoy my sobriety and how my sobriety is important to me. And no bottle of wine sitting there with the cap off, even if I've poured maybe a half a glass. And I'll tell you something right now. There are nights when you want to just rub your hand right across your mouth and it looks pretty good, you know? And so...
Well, what I understand of Alcoholics Anonymous, which you say you are an evolution beyond that...
Yes, we do believe that.
All right. Is that any exposure to alcohol is bad for the alcoholic, that he should avoid any contact with the alcohol culture. But you invite it right into your meetings.
We invite it right into our meetings because when I got sober, I remember the day I got sober, and in my kitchen was a bottle that I'd been drinking out of the night before. And I was drinking from a bottle of what used to be called Ripple Chilled Wine. And this stuff was about a buck and a half a bottle with a screw cap, and there were about six or seven empties in a shopping bag in the corner of my kitchen, and I had about a half a bottle in front of me, and I looked at it, and I sat, Phil, in that chair for 6 hours staring at that bottle of wine. I sniffed the bottle. I raised it to my nose and sniffed it. I poured a glass. I put some ice in it. Kind of wiped my mouth, wiped the saliva from my mouth because it looked good. And I decided that I could found a recovery program based upon that.
Well, let me ask you, were you ever in AA?
Yes, I was.
And that did not keep you sober?
No, sir, it did not, no.
Well, see, now, that's why they say Alcoholics Anonymous, because anybody that works the program in AA and fails, and then they go public with their sobriety, that reflects badly on AA.
Well, I'm not trying to reflect badly on AA. It didn't work for me.
And yeah, I know, but when you go public with the fact that you were in AA...
Well, you asked me. You know,
all right, I guess I did ask you, but... So you say it didn't work for you.
No, it didn't work for me. Because I need something that is going to, I guess, and other alcoholics like me need something that is going to get the adrenaline kicked up. And when we have our meetings, and you see seven or eight alcoholics come into a meeting room, and you see them, the first thing they do is they stare at that bottle of Wild Irish Rose. And I've got a case of that in the meeting hall, and we pull out a bottle, and it sits there. And, boy, I'll tell you, they look at it, and they look at it. And now what you got to do is start getting your mind on other things. What, you know, how's business? The guy's planting some flowers. He's talking about his gardening hobby. Another guy's talking about, and you talk about anything other than that. And it's interesting to hear a guy talk about his hobbies or his business, and his eyes have been locked on that bottle for 45 minutes. They've never been off of it.
You're kidding. I mean, so in other words...
Yeah, I'm not kidding. Even when I'm chairing the meeting, I'm staring at that bottle. In fact, we have full conversations, full 45-minute meetings, where we can't take our eyes off that bottle.
Well, who... this is stupid. Who's in charge of screwing the cap back on of it?
Well, we have other people who work in the building, but the point that I'm trying to make here is it's so superior to AA.
How long have you been sober?
We don't talk about length of sobriety. We're not into that ego trip. We're not into that at all.
Well, you hear a lot of people in AA say, I've been sober 20 years, 30 years.
Yeah, I've heard it, but we don't get into that whole ego trip. We're sober today. That's all we care about.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I'm talking to Austin Amarca of a group called Challenging Sobriety. I am interested in the fact that this idea that you guys will get into a meeting and talk.
Yeah, that's right.
And talk about everything, but you've got a bottle of booze sitting there. Is anything getting said?
Yeah, I'll tell you what's getting said. I'm not going to drink out of that bottle. Now, I got sober by the experience that I had. And I ran into a doctor who asked me, are you an alcoholic? I said, yeah. And he said, wait right there. And he went down the hall, and he went into his office, and he got a bottle of Jim Beam whiskey. And he walked in, and he said, you mean you like this stuff, don't you? And I looked at that whiskey, and, man, it might as well have been ice-cold water. And I said, yeah, I like it a lot. And he said, I bet you'd like to take a drink out of this bottle. I said, yes, sir, I would. He says, well, guess what? You're not gonna. And he would hold the bottle away from me and then move it toward me and hold it away from me. What he was teaching me was the discipline to, even though I'm staring right at a bottle of liquor and I want it more than I want anything in the world, I want it more than I want my children to stay alive another minute, I won't take a drink.
Can I ask you something? You just said to... You want to stay, you want to drink more than you want your kids to stay alive?
Every alcoholic does, yes, sir.
More than you want your kids to stay alive?
Yes, sir.
Every day of your life?
Yes, but I don't take that drink. But boy, I tell you what, I want that drink more than I want my 9-year-old son to breathe another breath. Now,
but why does that make you feel, man? I mean, does that say you love the booze more than your son? Does it say...
I don't know what it says. All I know is I'm not taking that drink, and my son is alive. Now, I have control over both things. I can try and keep my son alive for one more day, and I don't have to take a drink. If you ask me what I value more in this world, every alcoholic will tell you, given a choice between Robert's Wild Irish Rose or an infant child breathing another breath... You'd sacrifice the life of a child in a raging house fire, because that's the insidiousness of alcoholism, Phil.
All right, and you're challenging that by having meetings of alcoholics with an open bottle of liquor.
Not just an open bottle of liquor, an open bottle of fortified cheap wine, which is what all of us really preferred when we were drinking.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we speak with Austin Amarca. His group is the first I've ever heard of sort of challenging some of the premises of Alcoholics Anonymous. They believe that they conduct their meetings with an open bottle of booze on the table. And as you heard the gentleman say, sometimes they will have a full meeting of alcoholics talking about things, and no one has looked at anybody else. They're staring at the bottle of liquor. Additionally, he's also mentioned that he likes, like most alcoholics, wants a drink more than he wants his children to stay alive for one more minute. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. A new organization which says that the alcoholic must be challenged by the alcohol, must learn to live in an alcoholic culture. So alcoholic culture as in
as in a culture, Phil, that honors the use, the social use of alcohol. I don't mean that everybody's an alcoholic. I mean that we have to be aware that we have to live. We got to live in it. That's what AA doesn't teach you. They tell you to stay away from it. In our meetings, we will get a bottle of Old Granddad, Jim Beam, Jack Daniels, Johnny Walker Black, Johnny Walker Red, the liquor that we all enjoyed to drink, bourbon, straight bourbon, rye whiskey, and we'll sit it on a table. At the end of the meeting, we'll pass it around and see who's. We want to see who's going to step up to the plate. We're going to.
What do you mean you pass it around?
I mean we'll take that bottle and I'll pass it around, and I'll say to the group, I'll say, okay, let's see who really means what they're talking about and who is just some cheap early power. Who's the feather merchant and who wants to stay sober? Go ahead. Take a look at it. Read the label. Roll it around in your hands. Take the cap off. Take a sniff. Now, I'll tell you, in the meetings that I have attended, I rarely see anybody want to take a drink.
Have you ever seen somebody take a drink?
Oh, yeah, occasionally. I've seen people tip the bottle up on end and drink half of it. I mean, that's, you know.
You don't try to get the bottle away.
No, you're not going to do that. That's his decision. But you know as soon as he does that, you tell him to get out and never come back. See, we're not like AA. Well, you know, come on back. I see a guy take a drink out of the bottle at the end of our meetings. I say, now you see the door, you go through it, and don't you ever come back in here again.
1-800-449-8686. John, go ahead. You're on the air here with Austin Amarca of Challenging Sobriety.
This is John from Atlanta.
Hello, John.
How's it going, guys?
Fine.
Good. Well, it just so happens that I happen to be an anonymous member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And
now, are you sober currently?
Say it again?
Are you currently sober?
Yes. So, I mean, you know,
I got to ask the caller. Are you on a speaker, sir? Are you on a speakerphone or something?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not. Can you hear me better?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, good. So, first of all, you know, you're making some general statements about you know, a program that helps a lot of people that really aren't true. You know,
well, I didn't say anything about AA. I'm just saying it didn't work for me. That's all I'm saying.
No, you did. You said that AA teaches you to avoid alcohol. And that's actually not the truth.
Yes, it does.
It's actually a program that is based on
spiritual
in nature.
Do you have a bottle in your meetings?
Say it again?
Do you have bottles in your meetings?
No.
All right, well, there you go.
You know, so, but basically.
That doesn't, so you avoid it. We pass the bottle around.
I mean, I think it's great that it works for y'all.
Okay.
You know, but, you know, as far as what, you know, the reality.
Okay, John, we got to get moving along because I'm going to fall asleep listening to your call. Here's Johnny. Go ahead, Johnny.
Oh,
I think that guy's drinking right now.
Could be. Johnny, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I want to wish this gentleman the best of luck. I'm sincere when I say that.
Thank you.
But as far as my child breathing and me taking a drink, I've got 27 years of sobriety. I realize you folks don't really, that doesn't count as far as you're concerned.
Well, we're not into the ego trip.
It's not an ego trip for me.
Yeah, what
it's
do you mean
something
an ego
I'm
trip?
Very proud of.
Well, a lot of people talk about their sobriety like they somehow their stuff doesn't smell.
Okay,
well it's
not
an achievement for them. It's an achievement. It's a great achievement.
I understand right. that.
Okay, well what I'm trying to say though is I would never give up one of my I'd be so drunk I couldn't walk before I'd give up one of my children, and I don't know of a single alcoholic that would do as you say.
Well, I don't know. I mean, were you an alcohol? I mean, hard drinker. I mean, I
was very hardcore.
I knew some
I was
people.
Very hardcore.
All right, I knew some people. I was a hardcore drinker. I mean, I would watch my child be run over by a full freight train.
Yeah. Well, I was
if
one
I
of
could,
these people.
Oh man.
Well, you know, let me say something if you would.
Sure.
I was one of these people that I drank on the way to work. I drank a half a pint of whiskey or scotch or vodka or whatever I could
right.
get my hands on.
That's what I call liking a drink, right?
Pardon me?
Then you must have really wanted that drink.
Yes, I did. I had a terrible, terrible drinking problem.
Okay.
And I almost lost everything I had because of my drinking problem.
All right, let me ask you this. Suppose you had and you really wanted a drink, and somebody said, you could have a drink, but I need to throw your kid off this cliff.
I'm sorry. I'm
suppose somebody said, I'll give you this drink, but your kid gets thrown off a cliff.
No, my kid.
You got your radio turned up, Johnny. Turn your radio down.
No, my radio's not on.
Okay, go ahead.
So If that would have kept you sober, you, like you say it would have, then why didn't you just think of that? Like you say, I ain't going to drink this because someone's going to maybe throw my kid off a cliff.
Well,
that's not what I call being an alcoholic, see? If somebody would have said to me, Austin, I'm going to give you this drink, but your kid gets rolled over by a steamroller.
Oh, well, Jesus.
I take the drink.
Hey, you got that right. I'll take the drink.
No, my family and my children, they come first under any circumstances.
When you were drinking, you wouldn't care if your kids got hit by a car on a freeway.
No, you're wrong.
Well, then why didn't you quit drinking?
Why did I quit drinking? Because I realized where I was headed.
Why didn't you quit drinking?
The reason I quit drinking is because I knew where I was headed.
Right, so you didn't care about your kids. You cared about you.
I cared about my family because I was on the verge of losing my family.
So suppose when you were a hardcore, can you hear what I'm saying, Johnny?
Pardon me?
You hearing me? Are you hearing me? Can you hear me?
No, I can't.
You can't hear me?
You're extremely broke. I'm on a cell phone.
All right, okay, now listen to me. If I said to you, when you were a hardcore drinker like you say you were, I'll give you this drink, but your kid has to get kicked, just like a football, off this cliff onto those rocks, would you have not taken the drink?
Again, my family has to come first.
Well, then you couldn't have been an alcoholic.
Why? In other words, to be an alcoholic, you got to have your kid kicked off a cliff?
Yes.
No,
then that would have been a way to quit drinking. You could just say, I don't want to hurt my kids, but no alcoholic ever says that. See, I got you. I got you.
Oh, you're wrong.
I got you.
You're wrong.
I knew it. That's why our organization is better than AA.
Okay, just a moment. Just a moment. We've listened to you for a long time.
I'm at a bus depot. I can barely hear you.
Every time I try to say something, you interrupt me.
Are you still drinking?
No. I haven't had a drink in 27 years. And I'm very, very proud of that.
Did you get any bar? Did you get any bar fights?
My entire family is very proud of it. Everybody I know is very proud of the fact that I no longer drink. Because, like I said, I was on the verge of losing everything. I got to the point where I was getting mean.
You got to the point where you're becoming a mean drunk.
And that's a great deal of people that are alcoholics become mean towards the end of their drinking.
I was mean at the beginning of my drinking, and I got better. Well, in other words, I got more mellow. But
it doesn't make any sense what you're saying about I would have kicked my kid off of a cliff.
Yeah. Yes, I would have kicked my kid. Otherwise, I would have quit drinking. See, that's what this guy don't get.
All right, Johnny, thanks for calling. All right, 1-800-449-8686.
You know, that first guy that called from AA, see, that's why I didn't want to be in AA either, because all those guys sound like they just got out of bed. Hey, man, you know, everything's beautiful. Hey, I want to go, baby. I want to go. I want to be challenged. See, Phil? As an alcoholic, recovering alcoholic, I want to be challenged every day. I will walk into liquor stores, and I'll just peruse the bottles, the new ones that are in. I'll say to the guy, hey, Yoshi, or whoever, there's always a new Jap, but there's always a new Asian or somebody behind the counter. I'll say, hey, so what do you got? And he'll say, oh, I got this or that, have you tried this, that kind of deal. And then I'll go out, and that's how I live my life. But I'm not one of these AA guys who's all chilled out. And that whole one day at a time thing, let me tell you what, as far as I'm concerned, that's candy ass. I sit down in a meeting, I take a look at that wild Irish rose, I sniff it, and I go, smooth as silk.
All right, 1-800, all right, so you got the guts, man.
You better believe it. I got to see if my bus in Fresno is here yet.
Yeah, well, hold on for a minute. So you sit there with a bottle of wild Irish rose in the middle of these alcoholic, these meetings of alcoholics.
That's correct, yeah.
And you guys never take your eyes off of it.
Well, it's not a rule. You don't have to look at it, but wherever you find alcoholics, Phil, even if they're 26 years sober, like that last gentleman, if there's a bottle of booze, they can't take their eyes off of it. And that's the thing about AA that I had a problem with. All these guys will come into these meetings, I've been sober 50 years, I've been sober 35 years. All I got to do is pull out of my pocket one of those kind of just a nice football flask of Irish rye whiskey. And all these 26-year sober guys will be staring at that bottle like their dog's looking at a piece of ham hank.
Ham hank?
Yes.
All right.
or ham shank, or whatever the hell you call it. Like, in other words...
So a guy having all that sobriety doesn't mean anything?
Not when I whip out that bottle. Now, with the organization that I'm building, you put in 26 years of sobriety, and it'll be a miracle.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Polly, go ahead.
Yes, I'm Polly, and I have 18 years of sobriety in AA.
Well, why do you say... And so are you showing off by saying that, or what?
No, I'm not showing off by saying that. What I'm saying is AA saved my life. And I am to the point in my sobriety that if you pulled out a bottle of booze and set it in front of me, I would start gagging. When I get around people, if I just pass someone in a store that has been drinking, I start gagging. So your comment
that's the same thing.
Would be on it like a dog on a bone is BS.
Ma'am, your gagging is the same as loving it. See, it's a love-hate thing.
No.
Yeah.
No.
If you were truly over liquor, you would have indifference to it. It wouldn't bother you.
I do have indifference.
No, you gag. No. Normal people don't gag around it. They can either take it or leave it.
I'm not normal. I'm an alcoholic.
Well, that's not being indifferent, though. Gagging, look, I'm trying to be a gentleman, but when you say the word gag, usually that just means one thing.
It repulses me.
And you know what I'm talking about.
It repulses me.
What are you referring to?
Well, I want to be a gentleman. But the idea that you don't stare at that bottle... And there's a little part of you that says, Kessler, smooth as silk.
No.
Oh,
no.
Come on.
I did not. In my early sobriety, I did have those thoughts. But the disease of alcoholism is mental, spiritual, and physical.
Well, that's AA talk, see. In challenging sobriety, I could get you, Polly, if you joined our group, you could take a bottle of Wild Irish Rose, stare at it, and want it. Want it more than life itself. Want it more than the life of a grandchild. But
why
you won't drink.
Why would I want to do that?
Because you can beat the thing back. You can beat it back. If you know, you won't.
I don't have to.
You don't have
I
to
don't
avoid
have
it.
Beat it back anymore. I have freedom from it now.
No, because now what you're doing is you're a pain in the rear end at parties. Oh, could you take that booze away? Because it makes me gag. You know, all of that stuff. You don't want
to
do that.
No, I don't say that to people.
Don't you? Aren't you one of those people? Excuse me, but I've got 20 years of sobriety.
No, I'm not one of those people that says everyone in the world shouldn't drink. Alcohol is part of life, and there's people that can drink normally and people that can't drink.
But you just said that you gag when you're near.
And I go to parties.
And you gag.
If someone is drunk,
right?
And
see,
they get directly in my face. Yes.
So what
because
we have to do...
my body has a reaction to the alcohol.
Aren't you one of those people that come up to people and say, could you put that cigarette out, please, because I gag?
No, I smoke. That's my last addiction.
Well, what about... Yeah, but when someone is drinking, don't you ask them to leave?
She just said she doesn't...
Well, she said she gags.
But I don't ask them to leave. When I go to an AA meeting and someone comes in that's been drinking,
right.
We don't ask them to leave.
Well, ma'am, here's the thing.
We ask them to stay.
If you're at a party and you're not asking anybody to leave, but you're standing there out on the patio going, that's your way of saying, please get them out of here.
What?
Okay. Well, that's what she says she does.
I don't literally go,
ma'am, you said you gag. Now, I only know one way of gagging, and my wife, God rest her soul.
Okay, well, if you want to just focus on that so you can justify your...
I'm just saying, you say you gag.
You're whatever.
And I think that when you are at a party, it's rude to say, oh, thank you very much, I would like an hors d'oeuvre. And as soon as they bring the champagne by, and there's people who may want to drink it, there's Polly going, that'll put me off my meal.
No, I politely...
She politely does. I'm sure
if
you don't...
And throw up.
Say no, thank you. I'll have a
Shirley Temple
or a tonic water or something like that, and I turn away
from the
alcohol, so I don't gag in front of people. I'm talking about if a really, really drunk person.
Look at what if
in my face.
What if the most handsome man in the world, I mean a guy who's a knockout, walked up to you and breathed liquor all over you? You wouldn't gag on that. You wouldn't gag on the liquor anyway.
Oh yeah,
you know,
I would. I don't have a relationship with a man that drinks.
Well, I can tell you that
I put myself through hell. I put my child through hell.
What are you doing Saturday night?
What am I doing Saturday night?
Yeah, what are you doing Saturday night?
Saturday night, I'm going to a meeting and I'm spending time with my family.
Okay. If you go out to a restaurant and the guy walks by with a platter and two glasses of champagne on it, are you going to go while everybody's trying to have their dessert?
Most of the time,
okay.
No.
All right.
That's an extreme reaction.
Yeah.
I said that's an extreme reaction if someone is directly
well, I think it's rude. That's
breathing
not...
in my face. I think it's rude a drunk to be directly breathing nasty alcohol vomit
nasty
in my face.
Look, ma'am, if I go and I have a couple of pops, not me, but if a guy goes and has a couple of pops and he says, hi, and you happen to get a nice breath of absolute vodka, is he nasty or did he just have a pop? But you would say, and even if it was the President of the United States.
All right, look, I got to take
your group. Can I ask you a question? What is your success rate for your group?
I've been sober for a week.
You've been sober
for a week?
Well, I don't run around talking about what a big shot I am.
You've been sober for a week?
What's your fatality rate?
Hey, who's the drunk in the background? Because if that guy hasn't been drinking...
He hasn't been drinking.
Well, why is your fatality rate?
We have fun without drinking.
Why is it he sounds like he's loaded?
He doesn't sound like he's loaded.
This is the way he sounded. What's your fatality rate?
No, that isn't how it
That's
sounds.
Exactly how he sounded.
I heard what the guy sounded like. He didn't sound like that at all.
He can repeat it again. Leonard?
But ask this guy if you ever gag.
Will you shut up with that?
Leonard.
All right, look at Polly. We got to take a break.
What his fatality rate is? He thinks you're loaded.
Listen to her. She's going. That's a fatality rate. I think
what's
the
your
two.
Fatality rate.
What's that?
Success rate.
Our success rate?
Yeah.
I'm sober today.
Well, how many members are in your group?
Well, what difference is that? What difference does that make?
You and your dog.
What difference does it make?
Is that you and your dog will get a bottle and stay sober?
Hey, how long you been sober?
For 1 week.
There you go. You must be president of our organization.
You're a good guy. You really are.
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to come over to your house and just see how that gag reaction works on your wife.
Okay, that's enough. 1-800-449-8686. We're not on in Salt Lake City anymore. You don't think it had anything to do with that, do you? Now, we're on in Salt Lake City, but we ain't on that old station. We're on a new station. The old station went all sports. You know what? It's getting depressing for me. It's just getting depressing for me. This is not a news talk show, sports fans. This ain't a sports show, news talk fans. This is neither, you know, and if I hear one more guy in this company, in Clear Channel, say to me, well, you're neither fish nor fowl. If I hear that phrase, if I hear one more executive with either Clear Channel or Premier say, you know, Phil, your show is neither fish nor fowl, someone's going to die slow and painful. And I'll laugh. I'll laugh as blood specks are on my face. All you see is me and just blood squirts coming up from, like, off screen as I strangle someone. It'll just be, you're seeing, oh, God. We do like a basic comedy satirical thing, baby. What do you want me to say to you, huh? What, am I supposed to spell it out for half of these guys, huh? Now, sorry, I didn't mean to get it. That's a little angst-ridden thing. I'm having a tough week. Forgive me. It's weird, baby. Huh? Have David say what? Oh, David should call in and say, okay. Bud, just get out of here with him, will you?
Well, he won't. Come on here.
Yeah. All right, now, first of all, the thing that we want to mention, here's something I just, in closing, sort of, because Pauly was very put out there with our guest, Austin Amarca. And first of all, anybody that kicks the alcohol habit, God bless you. Personally and fortunately, I don't have a drinking problem. You know, it's hard for people to get. You drink, don't you? Yeah. Yeah, I do. Sometimes I hit the ball a long damn way, too. Well, then you must have some... No, I'm sorry, I don't, man. See, some cats that can't handle it, it bugs them. I don't mean to say can't handle it. Alcoholism's like diabetes, man. It's like diabetes. You can't do anything about it. You're born with it or you're not. And it's no big shame. The fact is, since I've been living away from the house, since I've been just out at the beach house by myself, I can count on two hands how many drinks I've had in the last 6 months. Honest to God. Except, okay, I had a few tequilas one night. But other than that, But when I do, I'll hit the ball a long way. Oh, yeah, 4th of July, we had a couple of pops. See, and so people say, well, so you enjoy it, don't you? Yeah, I do. Uh-huh. Well, why do you drink? Do you need to escape reality? Well, maybe, yeah. As a matter of fact, yes, I do need to escape reality a lot. Because my reality is a horror story. From sun up to sundown, man, it's one frightening trip. And I need lots of drinks. To quote Jack Nicholson to Shirley MacLaine, you're going to need a lot of drinks to kill that bug up your ass.